Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, are on the road with him, headed towards the place where he will eventually be crucified, resurrected, and ascended. They are making this long trek from Galilee to Jerusalem, and naturally they need places to stay along the way. So Jesus asks James and John to go ahead to the Samaritan village, but that village doesn't receive Jesus. They want nothing to do with this man or his friends. The disciples, what do? But ask if they can burn the place down. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Well, that's one option. I kind of imagine this devilish grin on their faces, reminiscent of their days of boyhood pyromania. James and John, and that deeply human part of them, want to see judgment cast upon the Samaritans. Jesus, the Son of God, was on his journey. With each step, he was another step closer to his own death. He's done nothing but teach good news and heal the people. And these people then have the audacity to close their gate in his face. Well, then they're going to get what's coming to them. Call down that heavenly fire. If I'm being honest, it's a little satisfying to give people what's coming. If my two older brothers trip me, then I immediately shove them. It's natural. Payback, judgment, it just feels good. It keeps people in line, and it shows us that our actions have consequences. It's been a part of the way that the world has worked as long as we can remember. The ancient concept of karma: what happens to you is a direct result of what you do to others. Or the biblical law from Exodus: an eye for an eye. We are accustomed to the world working this way, to judgment, to punishment, on both small and large scales. And our friendships and our families and our workplaces at the state and federal and international levels, and James and John were accustomed to that way too. It was deeply embedded in their first century worldview. But when they suggest vengeance to be brought down upon that village, Jesus will have none of it. He turns and he rebukes them. I imagine Jesus sort of wheeling on them like a parent does when their child has just said something that they shouldn't have. But while his disciples seek vengeance, what does Jesus do but just continue on his journey without even a word against those who rejected him? This isn't the end of the story with the Samaritans, though. Now, we don't hear it in this particular passage that was just read, but the gospel writer is really careful to close the loop later on. And it's important. The Samaritans, they encounter Jesus again. And they keep bumping into his disciples. And eventually, they receive Jesus. With a little time, they are brought into right relationship with God through the gospel, through that good news of Jesus the Messiah. Now think about it. If left up to James and John, the Samaritans will not have lived to see another day. But Jesus, see, he's in the business of giving life, not taking it. And he's much more interested in restoration than in retribution. It's the very stuff of his being. His incarnation. God became one of us, a human. And Jesus bore our wrongdoings and all the judgment that we deserved so that we could be restored to God and given life. And his life on earth and his death and his resurrection, in all of that, he taught us that the old ways are gone. No longer an eye for an eye, but he showed us that instead mercy takes the place of judgment. Reconciliation over vengeance. Life where there was death. This is the way of Jesus. So what if we, a people who know and have received Christ's undeserved mercy, were to then live it out in our world? Is it even possible, or just too lofty of an idea? The late Desmond Tutu, as you know, was a bishop of South Africa, as well as an avid activist. He wrote many profound books and essays and speeches about his experience of apartheid. That system of institutionalized racial oppression in South and Southwest Africa that lasted for well over 40 years. During this time, white Africans denied all other races basic rights like voting, marriage, access to housing. Black Africans of all the races were placed on that lowest rung, and they were criminalized. Their very being was treated as subhuman. Thousands and thousands died, with even more wounded in body and spirit and mind. In 2004, Tutu recounts in an essay how he and other leaders were reckoning with how to treat those people who had done so much harm to them and their people. Tutu became chairman of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa, an effort established by Mandela and the post-apartheid government. It was created to move the country beyond cycles of retribution, to prevent violence from begetting violence. The commission granted perpetrators of apartheid crimes the opportunity to first give a truthful account of their actions and their crimes, and then to ask for forgiveness. And then to be restored and right relationship with their country and those that they harmed. Reflecting on this profound experience, Tutu writes, "For our nation to heal and become a more humane place, we had to embrace our enemies. Because true enduring peace between countries, within a country, within a community, even a family, requires real reconciliation. For retribution wounds and divides us from one another," he said. "And only restoration can heal us and make us whole. Instead of giving them what they deserved, sentencing them to death because of all the death that they caused, and allowing violence to beget violence, they stood up and they stopped that cycle of hatred and gave restoration a chance." To me, this story shows that reconciliation, over and above judgment, is not too lofty an idea for us, the people of God. The work of that commission is proof that mercy has no limit and is sweeter than any vengeance. Tutu and his fellow leaders lived out the reality that we are all able to receive and to extend God's mercy, no matter what has been done. Friends, this is the way of Jesus. And Jesus beckons us to join him, to move beyond our impulses towards judgment and instead to lean into that hard, life-giving work of forgiveness. In all places and in all things, within ourselves and our relationships and our family systems and our institutions, we have been called to be tiny pockets of God's mercy throughout this whole world. All of us working together for the restoration of all people to God and to one another. Amen. Amen.